this is, I'm really excited to do this again. I really like it. And so we're just going to go and kick this thing off. We've been going through this time of Advent, this time of Christmas. And I was selected to do the love sermon or the love talk here. So a lot of times I ask a lot of questions to help, you know, kind of guide my thoughts as to what I'm going to say and everything like that. So I oftentimes think, what is love? Or what are some of the things that we do love? Some of us love TV, right off the bat. Some of us love playing video games. Right, Ronnie? Me and you, buddy? Some of us like this thing where you, like, throw this ball to other people and or it requires baseballs or something like that, like sports. You know, some people like sports and really are into that kind of thing. Some of us love our sports cars, our super fast cars and things like that. And some of us love animals. I love animals, right, Tiffany? Right? I've been trying to get her to let me get a dog, but she, for whatever reason, doesn't like that. But we could also love each other. We could love our mom. We could love our dad. We could love our brothers and our sisters. I have friends that I love. I love all of you guys. There's just lots of love all over the place. But in the Bible, we see that there's a certain type of love, and there's several types of love that are kind of depicted in the scriptures. And there's something fundamental about love. Love requires a connection. And when I was processing the types of connection and the types of relationships, you know, there's two types of connections that I see. You know, there can be true, passionate, unconditional love, relationships and connections, and then there could be a lot of times superficial and fake ones. You know, so those are the kinds of people or the situations that we put ourselves into. Those are the types that we can basically get ourselves into. Basically, if we spend enough time in a connection, that leads to a relationship, naturally. If I meet you for the first time and we have a lot of things in common, we'll often pursue that relationship as friendship. So meeting leads to connection, what leads to relationship. So we're going to remember that term, relationship, for right now. So in the Bible, we see that there's four types of loves. There's storge, which is more like a family love. So it's kind of like, you know, brothers and sister, family, you know, just kind of like a familiar type of love. We see each other all the time. Then there's philia, which is more like a brotherly love. And thinking about that kind of love, I often kind of think of my relationship with Maki, who's not sleeping in the back, right? He's not. And that's the type of brotherly love. You know, we're not related in any form or fashion, but Maki, what are you? You're my brother. That's right. I pick you up when we go get food once a week, drive you around town, doing all kinds of stuff, right? Isn't that right? So that's the kind of brotherly love that's also found in the Bible. And I'm trying to think of other things too. There's this eros love, and we've talked about this before. And eros is like a quick or passionate love. And I don't know if you know this, but when Tiffany and I were first dating, 10 years ago, when we first started, we made these binders. Oh yeah. Let me tell you. And in these binders, they're just full of babes and I love yous and all kinds of stuff. But let me read you something out of one of them. This is completely appropriate. Dorothy, Mom, you might want to close your ears. This is an email that I sent using my Juno account. If you don't know what Juno is, well, you know. Over 10 years ago, on August the 16th, 2001, this is what I wrote. Hey, babe, I want to tell you something I've never told anyone with my whole heart or any part of my heart. That is, I love you. And I mean that with every inch of my heart and soul. I could see us together forever. Old and wrinkly, too. I have never met a person that gave me so much happiness before. I love you, babe. I always will, and I will never stop loving you. You are my BB. And everything, and when I'm not with you, I'm like, no, I'm sad, because I can't be with you or hold you. I'll stop right there. Best buddy? Oh, Benta Mesa, that's right. Oh, sorry. That's right, my Benza Mesa. I forgot about that. So that would be one of Eros. It's a quick, it's like a dating relationship kind of, you know, passionate love and everything like that. When you're 16, that's full of that right there. Yeah. It is pretty bad. You should see Tiffany's binder. It's pretty funny. But there's a fourth type of love, and that's agape. And the agape love is one that is like a burning desire, an unconditional, deep down. This is, C.S. Lewis wrote that it's not, we can't even fathom how deep and how unconditional it is. It's almost unhumanly possible to be able to find that, to be able to describe that. But God loves us. Not a family love or a brotherly love, or not even an Eros love, but an agape love, a deep down, do anything. So questions I often think, what does that look like in my life? How is that depicted? How is that brought out? Do I believe that God loves me? Do you believe that God loves you? God loves us with an agape love. So we're going to go ahead and turn to John chapter 3, verse. Anybody going to guess? 16. John 3:16. We're going to start there. And the thing about, you know, this verse, John 3:16, you know, back when I used to watch wrestling before I figured out that it was fake, you know, they always had like the Austin 3:16s, you know what I mean? I never understood what that meant. Ronnie, can you explain that to me? No, I have no clue. But this is where that whole, you know, when you see a football game and stuff like that, this is where this all begins at right here. The other thing about John, this passage of scripture, is a lot of times we read just John 3:16 and stop right there. But we're actually going to read through 17 because they're linked together. So at this point, Jesus is having a conversation with this guy named Nicodemus, and Nicodemus doesn't quite get it. He's like, I got to be born again. What does that mean? I don't understand. And so Jesus is basically putting it down, layman's terms. This is what God has in store for us. So John 3, verse 16. For God loved the world so much that he gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. God sent his Son into the world not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. Amen. That's it. That's what Jesus' purpose on earth is for. That's why when Jesus was born, that's the purpose of his birth, is right there. So in this passage of scripture, we see some things that God did. First thing, that God loved. And again, this is not a fleeting love. This is not a quick love. This is not a passionate love. This is a deep down would do anything for you type of love. This is an unconditional love. This is a love that doesn't care where you've been, what you've done. This is a complete love. That's an agape type of love. The second thing God did in this passage of scripture is God gave. And God gave something very, very special. He delivered to us a little baby. And that baby would grow into a man that we would be saved through. Now, it's sort of unfathomable to me that, you know, if I had to give up my son for something, for some purpose. But God gave his son for us. There's another part in this passage that requires, so those are the two things that God did. And then there's a response that we can have. So that everyone who believes in him, that's all we got to do. We just got to believe. Simple as that. What happens if we don't believe? In your version of scripture there, it might say perish or might say death. You will not perish, but have eternal life. And that word perish, I looked it up, and it does mean like an immediate death or kind of like a, you know, you would die kind of thing. But it actually means more of a present death. You lose that connection with God if you don't believe. Your life here on earth now would be empty and full of not hope or joy or love. So it's a loss of a connection or relationship. But if we do believe, we get to have eternal life. Not only when we pass from this life into the next, but we can experience the kingdom of God right here, right now. We can experience the love and the unconditional love of Jesus and what God has for us. We can experience peace and joy. We can experience what it truly means to be loved. Now there's a second part. It's not simply just believing. There requires more of us to believe than just that. In order to believe, we need to be able to let God take control. We need to be able to let Him kind of infiltrate our lives and be a part of it, to have that relationship, to rebuild that connection. You know, a lot of times it can be afraid to be able to relinquish control or to be afraid to know what even love feels like because we've been hurt in the past. But we need to be able to give control to Him and let Him carry the burden and not us try to figure it out or anything like that. Part of His love needs to affect everything inside of us. Everything. So we're going to keep reading on in verse 17 here. And it says this. We'll read it again. God sent His Son into the world, not to judge the world, but to save the world through Him. That's it. There's not really anything left here. God sent His Son. He gave and He sent His Son. Why? So we can have that relationship back. See, back when earth was created and God created man and woman, they walked with each other. They had that relationship, that connection. And the journey of the Israelites from there on out, after Adam and Eve sinned and they got cast from the garden, God had been wanting that connection to be reestablished. So all the time that they spent in and out of captivity, the times they were running and walking through the desert, and the times they got kicked out, and the times that they were brought back into the promised land, and the times that they had good leaders and bad leaders and terrible leaders, and there was occupations, and that's where they're at right now. They're in an occupied state. And of course, they thought that Jesus was going to save them and kind of conquer Rome and everybody like that. But no, that's not what Jesus came to do. So that's why God sent Jesus. Not to judge us, not to say like, you're a terrible person or the things that you've done are unforgivable. That's what we do to ourselves. But he did not send to judge, but to save through Him. If you believe, then our lives need to look a little different. Our actions need to be different. Things that we say should look differently. You know, we had the baptisms today, and that's super cool in my book. Because that's showing publicly that there's a change in these people's lives. And that they're willing to walk a different path than that they were walking before. Our outlook on life would be filled with hope if we believe, and peace, and joy, and more love. So this Christmas season, when we go out and buy a bunch of things and things like that for folks, let's remember that Jesus is the reason. As corny or cliche as that could be, that's it. There is nothing else. For God sent His Son into the world because He loved us deeply. Deeply, 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 deeply. So much so that we can't even really fathom how deep that is. Not to judge us, but to save us. So that we can have all of these things that God wants for us right here, right now. That's my question. I'm going to go ahead and pray for us, and our worship team is going to come up, and then we're going to go ahead and play the last song. So let's go ahead and pray with us right here. Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much for the things that you have brought us, Lord. Things that we necessarily can't touch, Lord, but the hope and joy and peace that we find inside of us, Lord. That no money could buy, Lord. That nothing, that no man can induce, Lord. That only you and your Spirit can provide. And we just thank you for that. And we just pray that we remember those things, Lord, as we go from today, Lord. And we just pray for your guidance and for your wisdom for our lives. And we just pray this in your name. And the one and the love, Lord, the deep love that you have for us. In your name, Jesus. Amen.